Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill, WCHL. What a great radio station this is. I'm so happy to be here. This is show 136, 136 shows that I will have done for the station when this one is completed, and I will be doing something today that I have never done before, and that is about 10 minutes before I left my home office to drive the 15 minutes or so here to the studio, just before I left, I threw away the show that I had planned to deliver to you today, and I threw it away because just as I was leaving, what showed up on my news feed was the Senate report that came out last week from the Health, Education, Labor, and Pension Committee. HELP is the acronym for those initials, or for those names, for those words. And that Senate report predicts that in the next 10 years, folks, in the next 10 years, 100 million jobs will be eliminated from our economy because of AI and robotics. 100 million jobs will be eliminated because of AI and robotics. Now, last month, I submitted my new book, Common Ground for Us, to my publisher, and that book was built on an anticipation that this sort of dynamic was going to be happening. It urges us to look at the future and prepare for the future on this common ground that I have identified. Well, folks, in the early days of my work, 25 years or so ago, when I started helping people become their most creative selves, I understood right away that it was important for me to help people see that they are creative. I'm not going to help them be creative. I'm going to help them grow their creative and their entrepreneurial qualities. And I could piece together lots of different anecdotes and lots of different pieces of data points to help make that case that that's who we are, that's who we naturally are. Well, that job became a whole lot easier for me when I came across the NASA-involved study that found, well, the NASA-involved study was based on a creativity assessment that NASA had developed for them so that they could hire the most creative and entrepreneurial scientists and engineers. They used it in the recruiting process. Well, the gentleman who developed that assessment tool adapted it just a bit and used that same tool to measure, to assess the creative qualities of 1,600 five-year-old school children, and using NASA's grading scale discovered that 98% of those kids scored at NASA's creative genius level. Boy, that sure made my job of helping people understand how we're born with wonderfully creative qualities. It sure made that job a whole lot easier. The job that I'm doing, that been doing in the last couple of years of urging people to see these changes that are happening, I'm going to guess that that job is going to become a whole lot easier, that this large, large number has got to alert leadership that we're entering what I've been calling an unknowable future, a future filled with unknowable unknowns. I've been saying for some time that as we face that unknowable future, here's what we have to do, what we have to appreciate, what we have to see is that the most rational and the most optimistic way to prepare for an unknowable future is growing our creative and our entrepreneurial qualities. It's rational because when you're facing the unknown, don't you want to be your most adaptive, your most resilient, your most collaborative, your most creative self? That's rational that you would want to be that person as you face an unknowable challenge. And it's optimistic because, as I just pointed out, it plays to our strengths. 98% of us are born with remarkable creative qualities that are labeled as creative genius when they show up on the NASA assessment. So in my book and in the work that I do, one of the things I point out is the inevitability. I don't predict when it's going to happen, but the inevitability of a universal guaranteed income. I take my readers and my audience in my workshops, my participants in my workshops, through the following logic chain, that 70% of a company's business expenses, 70% our wages, salaries, and related employee costs. The largest single item on in their expenses are employee costs. So there's going to be a great motivation to use AI. This is before I learned of the 100 million jobs. It's going to be great being eliminated. There's going to be great motivation on behalf of business owners to use automation, to use AI, to use robotics to minimize those expenses, those costs to them, right? And so at some point, enough jobs will be lost, enough jobs will be eliminated, that the purchasing power of the marketplace will erode. And at that point, it will be significant for businesses to see that for the way that they can continue to do business without any purchasing, without any money in the marketplace, in people's pockets, it's going to be in their interests to support a universal guaranteed income. In fact, in the book, I even suggested at some point, I can imagine the Chamber of Commerce lobbying for a universal guaranteed income. So again, that these businesses can sell these highly profitable goods and services. Well, when we understand that a loss of 100 million jobs, the elimination of 100 million jobs from an economy that I've checked two different sources before I left, because I thought 100 million jobs, wow, wonder what percentage of total employment is 100 million jobs. Folks, right now, and a couple of different sources say a number a little bit higher than this, a couple of sources say a number a little bit lower than this, there's roughly 160 million jobs in the economy right now. And this committee's report suggests that in the next 10 years, we're going to lose 100 million of them, leaving 60 million plus or minus jobs. Talk about an unknowable future. How will that play out? How will that play out over time when we're eliminating all those jobs? But what if forward-thinking leadership, political leadership, community leadership start telling stories about how this it's rational and how it's optimistic for us to build our creative qualities, our entrepreneurial abilities as we approach this unknowable unknown? What if political leaders were to embrace that and see that as an important part of the message that they're going to deliver to citizens, to their constituency? What if they even went further and started to support programs that are there to help grow these creative and entrepreneurial qualities in schools and in other places? What if they even decide that it's important for them now to lead the charge to invest in makerspaces and other Commonwealth utilities, public schools, public libraries, makerspaces? If you don't know what a makerspace is, that's where you can go into a facility, and there's all the tools that you can imagine, from hand tools to electric saws to digital tools, 3D printing, to allow people to use their hands and use their ingenuity and use their entrepreneurial qualities to build something. And so we're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break. I hope you join us.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius. In the first segment, I introduced two things. I introduced the fact that this is a show unlike any other show and that I'm very much on the fly here. What I was going to do, I pulled aside, threw aside, when I saw right before I left for the studio, a report on the Senate study that predicts that in the next 10 years, 100 million jobs will be eliminated from an economy that currently has about 160 million jobs, and those jobs will be eliminated, says this Senate report, predicts this Senate report, because of AI, because of robotics, because of other office automation that businesses are going to be highly motivated to adopt, since 70% of their expenses are employee costs. Well, during the break, I quickly did a calculation and discovered that that means, folks, that about 65% of the jobs that currently make up our economy will be eliminated if this study is accurate. What does that leave us with? That leaves us with this really very dramatic understanding that we're facing a future that nobody has any idea. Nobody has any idea what the future is going to be like. Even before this report, Senate report came out, futurists were already saying when they would submit a plan a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan to their clients, they would already say, hey, our most likely scenario isn't very likely. That was their appreciation for the uncertainty of what's to come. I got to think that uncertainty has just been compounded by this report. And it's, you know, I had some anticipation that this was going to happen. I had no notion that it was going to happen as fast as this. And so it seems to me, of all the ideas that I share with folks about how to prepare for an unknowable future, the one that seems to sort of ruffle some folks' feathers, I've actually had different luncheon business clubs ask me to not talk about the advent, the coming of universal guaranteed income. Well, it's happening, folks. It's going to happen. It's inevitable that it will happen when that many jobs will be stripped out of the economy. Let's even assume that maybe it's only half that many jobs get stripped out of the economy. That's going to be a significant change in the way people find employment. And so political leadership, community leadership that understands this, that embraces that this is the challenge that they need to face, there's many ways they can respond. At the core is to embrace the fact that we need to be the most creative and the most entrepreneurial and the most adaptive nation, a group of citizens that we can possibly be, so that we're best prepared for whatever comes our way in this unknowable future. So as I was driving here, the 15 minutes or so after reading this report, I thought, well, okay, now let me identify those creative concepts and strategies that seem to be most fitting, most useful as we face an unknowable future. Underlying all the work I do, and this is makes this all what's happening now just makes this all the more important, is for you to commit that you are going to be your most creative self, to be intentional about the fact that from this point forward, you're going to do all you possibly can to be the most creative and entrepreneurial version of yourself that you can be, so that you are ready, so to prepare for this unknowable future. So declare to yourself, say to yourself, I'm going to be this person. Make it an authentic declaration. You want to act on that intentionality right now and from now on. One of the best ways for you to act on your intentionality is in your listening. To give that greatest gift we can give each other these days, which is our undivided attention. And so as we approach an unknowable future, to truly listen to people as they talk about what their experiences are, as they share with you what they're learning about the future, for you to really listen and listen appreciatively, providing your undivided attention, a couple of good things happen. One good thing that happens is that you show regard for the individual that is talking to you. You show respect for them. They're heard and they appreciate being heard and they remember that you showed that close attention. That's a good thing. You become known as the person in the future to go to share thoughts about what's happening. Isn't that a great place for you to be in the nexus of all folks thinking and talking about the new stuff going on in the world? You also get an additional benefit, and that is if you listen closely to what these folks are saying, you're absorbing the forms and the patterns of what they're saying. Steve Jobs, when asked about creativity, what is creativity? He says, well, creativity is just simply connecting the dots. So make sure you have lots of dots. That careful listening that you're going to be doing and from now on and into the future helps you collect lots of really important dots. Another way to be intentional, now it's important, all the more important in the future, is to have a bias for action. There's a whole lot of theories of intelligence, like somatic intelligence, that have as a common understanding that we are smarter when we move. We're smarter when we move. That's a good reason to have a bias for action. And presumably our movement is going to go into the community, into the neighborhood, into the place that you need to know more about. And you're going to learn from it. You're going to get used to it. You're going to get it on your clothes, you're going to get the smell in your nose. You're going to feel it. You're going to touch it by moving into it. Another important quality to be intentional about now and in the future is to take multiple perspectives, right? Your first look at something new is not very often going to reveal what's actually going on there. Right? We're going to be stuck on our old status quo thinking, and we're going to see what we think we're seeing. We're going to see what we want to see. boy, you got to take multiple perspectives to make sure you get the best view of what's going on around here. So we can see how a bias for action and multiple perspectives, they sort of dance together. I always identify being intentional as the number one quality of a creative mindset, the number one principle, rather, of a creative mindset. And there's two number twos, having a bias for action and taking multiple creative perspectives. Another place to practice your intentionality is to be generous. And in now, it's important in the future to make the best case for this newness, right? You don't have to embrace it to make the best case, but why embrace it until you've really challenged it? Try to make the best case out of what's happening. Two things are going to happen. You're going to learn a lot by making the very best case of these changes that are happening, and you're going to be more confident in either your embrace or your rejection of them because you've really gotten used to these changes and you've been generous with them. Also, social capital, which is important now, right? That's your network of friends and families. I can only imagine that social capital is going to become all the more important in the future to have lots of different people and lots of different perspectives from lots of different diverse communities sharing what they're learning, sharing what they're finding with you. Well, the very best way to grow your social capital network is by being generous to folks. What do I mean by being generous? When you see something you think Janet is going to be interested in, send it to her. When you read a story that you think Tom is going to want to have access to, send it to Tom. Be generous with them, and you know what happens? Because of the wonderful reciprocal nature of generosity, you have a whole network of people who want to be generous with you in return. That sounds like a great asset to have as we enter an unknowable future. We got one more segment, folks. I hope you come back after the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This is Carl Nordgren, Exploring Your Creative Genius, 97.9 The Hill. In our first two segments, I acknowledged to you all that I was very much making up this show on the fly, something I've never done before, because right before I left to come to the studio, in my news feed came a mention of a new study that came out last year from the Senate Committee of HELP. What is that HELP? Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, that from that committee, they are predicting that in the next 10 years, 65% of the jobs that make up our economy are going to be eliminated. 100 million jobs in a 160 million job economy are going to be eliminated because of robotics and AI. Wow. What does that do for our picture of the future? It tells me that our future is filled with unknowns, filled with unknowable unknowns, filled with ambiguity. And my proposition to you, and I would hope that leaders would embrace this proposition, is that the very best thing that we can be doing in preparing for that unknowable future is to be our most creative and entrepreneurial selves. I think a leader could even turn this into a patriotic message, that it's good for the individual, but it's good for the country if we all become our most creative and our most entrepreneurial selves. So I've been offering you some creative concepts and behaviors that I think are particularly attuned to preparing you for an unknowable future. I talked about the importance of being intentional, of having a bias for action, of taking multiple perspectives, of being generous. How about this? How about the importance of being humble? Being humble is so important right now. When you start a new project, you don't know the most important things you need to know, and so it takes a humble approach to embrace that, to understand that, and to then face those, attend to those opportunities with a humble approach of acknowledging that you don't know much. You know what you also want to be hearing as a humble person from now on is, hey, I don't know. What do you think? I like that, right? What do you think about what's going on here as we are moving into this unknowable future? Pattern recognition, always important. Don't you think your pattern recognition skills are going to become even more important as we live into an unknowable future? pattern recognition can come from your analytical nature, right? When you're analyzing, what are you doing? You're looking for anomalies. You're looking for patterns in the data, patterns in the information. You're looking for disconnects in the information and in the data. And those disconnects and those unexpected findings will often be a driver of new insight and new behaviors for you as you come to understand what's going on here. But before you're analytical, I've shared this phrase with listeners many, many times. You want to understand something new, first get used to it before you study it. So the analytical is studying it before you begin to study it. What you want to do is you want to immerse yourself into it, right? You want to live with these patterns. You want to get into those patterns. And you can practice your pattern recognition ability. In an analog world, you can practice your, and research shows that when you intentionally practice pattern recognition, you get better at it. And so here's some tips. In the analog world, you're driving down the road and you see addresses. Try to find patterns in the addresses. Try to find patterns in license plates. Try to find patterns in phone numbers. In the digital world, the research also shows that these various match three games that you can play online, those will help develop your pattern recognition abilities. Our brains are really, really good at recognizing new patterns when we're young, when we're 20, when we're 30, when we're 40. It's called fluid intelligence, and our fluid intelligence is really good during those three, four decades of our life, and they begins to fall off. So as you are engaged in pattern recognition, if you're older than that, maybe you have a partner, right? Maybe bring along a granddaughter. Maybe bring along somebody with you and have them looking at what you're looking at and let you benefit from their still natural, native pattern recognition ability. Those are going to be transitions. And the word that I come to when I talk about all these transitions, it's a phrase, I guess, rather, liminal time and space. Liminal time is a threshold. And so when you stand at a threshold, sometimes you can take one step and you're into the new one, into the new place. You've left one place behind and you're in the new place with one step. But sometimes it's more like a foyer. You've left where you were, you haven't gotten where you're going, and you're in this sort of prep place, a sort of docking station where you can prepare yourself for what comes next. Liminal space and time is filled with ambiguity. And how do you deal with that ambiguity? You deal with that ambiguity, first of all, by being aware of it, by looking for patterns, as we discussed just a moment ago, by finding maybe the first bit of narrative that helps you understand a little bit about what's going on in this in-between space. So, folks, I look forward to continuing to share ideas with you about how we prepare for the unknowable unknown that will increasingly be part of the work that I'll bring and share with you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day and a great week. Thanks for listening.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.